You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome along to the Final Furlong podcast for another Cheltenham Festival special. The countdown is very much on, and I am joined in studio, Imogen Kennedy, by the main man, one of our most popular ever guests on the show, one of the best betting minds in the business, Gavin Lynch. Welcome back to the Final Furlong.
Emma, thank you. Good to have you in County Meath again. And today I was actually able to return the favour and bought you lunch, so there you go.
Much obliged, and thank you very much for welcoming me back into your home and your lovely studio here as well.
Yeah, sure, it's grand.
As the countdown is very much on, there's an awful lot of blood in the water. Huh? It's been an absolute devastation. We're struggling to get runners for Cheltenham. How is your anti-post position standing? Do you still have runners?
Not too bad compared to my normal level of punting up until about 2 weeks ago. I actually had done way, way less than normal just because you're trying to find value and you're trying to find prices. There's no point in backing them at a price you're going to, that they might be on the day perhaps. So, but in the last couple of weeks, I've got stuck into a few. So probably up to about half the normal level, I'd say.
Do you find as much value at this time now? Do you think it's, there's going to be a couple of, and there's one in particular you're very, very interested in, but.
I think there is. You just have to maybe guess where horses are going, but like they're basically all non-runner, no better, non-runner, money back, whichever you wish. I still think there's value out there, but you just have to take your time and look through it. Yeah. Like, we were chatting earlier on, and Ballyburn is somehow even money with Unibet for what you want to call it. The Gallagher's Novice Hurdle now, is it? It used to be the Ballymore. Then it was the Bearing Bingham, or as a friend of mine calls it, the Bally Bingham. So like him at even money, I see he's into around 7-4 on the machine, which is, you know, you lose your money if he doesn't go there. So that's quite strong. A week ago, he was the opposite. He was 2.4 last week with the Supreme. But anyway, I think even money, Ballyburn for the 2.5 mile Novice Hurdle, we call it, with the Unibet, or 4-5 with a lot of them. I think that's okay. It's a very sharp price, but maybe not for a single. But if you're going to do a multiple, definitely stick him into it. I think his SP in the 2.5 mile Novice Hurdle will be 2s on. I think that Mystical Power might go to the Supreme, even though JP has Jericho de Repine. Slade Steel will probably go. It doesn't matter. She's going to beat Slade Steel again anyway.
Well, so, Slade Steel won't take him on.
No,
Henry's already told us that on the show. Yeah, they've been beaten twice by 7 lengths. They don't want to. They exactly. Don't fancy that again.
Yeah, so I think something like that at even money in a multiple is fantastic value. And as I said, I think he'll SP around 2s on.
It's not just the Willie Mullins bingo. And you mentioned the machine. I mean, only a few days ago, Mystical Power was trading his favourite. We need to talk about something on air here. The liquidity on the machine's just not there anymore.
No, it's not so much. I don't know why, but the liquidity on Betfair is quite low. In terms of Willie Mullins bingo, I've tried to over the last couple of years because there's so many changes. I just keep a mental note of how many times I get caught out. I've been caught out once this year, and I think it was maybe at a guess once last year, but that's once too many. But you just can't keep getting caught out by guessing where Willie is going to send horses because you'll drive yourself insane, first of all.
Oh, well, listen, I've been caught out already with Factor Foul. But I am on record several times saying on the show, this is the race for Ballyburn. But you can't trust them. You cannot use the machine as a guide anymore. Just because a horse is trading at a short price for a supposed target That's no longer the relevance it used to be. That was a guide you could trust. Now you just can't anymore.
No, you can't really. Like the other night, I think it was Saturday evening, that Ruby said he'd be surprised if Ballyburn went to the Supreme. And at that stage, he was 2.4 roughly on Betfair. And then within 48 hours, it switched. But it's primarily on what Ruby said, because David Casey doesn't say too much, which is what Willie wants. And then Willie doesn't say too much. So, but like, you can understand it from Willie's point of view. He's trying to leave it as late as he can, because it depends what happens if a horse works brutal.
Yeah.
And then he has to switch plans again. Like say Tully Hill picked up an injury this week or whatever. That would change it again. And the thing is that if Willie turns around and says something, like let's say he turned around and said to somebody, Gary O'Brien at the race, and he said, yeah, I'm thinking 60-40 that Ballyburn is going to go for the 2.5 miler. Okay, let's say he just said that, he said that. People would think that that's 90-10.
Yeah.
They don't say. So if he came out a week later and said, we're actually going for the Supreme, they'd say, but you said the other day you were going for, no, I didn't. I said it was 60-40. But as I said to you, the public will generally think then that, no, you said such a thing. So you can see why he says nothing, but it is frustrating as a punter, no doubt, yeah.
The day York Hill got beaten in the Ferry House Gold Cup, he mentioned every single race, including the champion hurdle for him the next season. Like, he thinks out loud. That's just how he behaves. And we should all be very much aware of that by now.
Well, don't forget, like, even this season, Gaelic Warrior was going to, it was in print that he was going for the Stairs Hurdle. Then he was going for the 3 mile. Willie said in a stable tour he'd make a lovely brown advisory horse. And then he wins over 2.5, and then he showed a lot of toe. And there was talk of him obviously going to the Irish Arkell. And if he had ran in that and won that, which maybe he could have. No, he was sick that weekend. He certainly ran very poorly. I wouldn't say he would have won the Irish Arkell. But if he did, he could have ended up in the Arkell. So there's four different races just this season with him. But anyway, look at, as I said to you, just in terms of anti-post punting, there's no point in getting annoyed. But just try, one thing is you can't be back on too many Willie horses where you're guessing. Because Willie probably doesn't know himself, so.
No, he doesn't. And because Willie doesn't know, then that means the connections of other horses don't know, because we know Slate Steel goes where he doesn't. Mystical Power is not going to take on Ballyburn. And just because he's in the same ownership as Jericho de Repene, JP has done this several times. Might Enter Yours and Jetski, Captain CB and Binocular.
Yeah.
He tends to just let his best 2 milers take each other on. And everything that Willie Mullins has been saying is that he's a 2 miler and that Mark would struggle to settle him over 2.5. So yeah, he's been telling us he's going Supreme.
Yeah, and Jericho de Repene only has the one entry in the Supreme. And as you said, Mystical Power is quite keen. Ruby again said it the other day. I don't think 2.5 miles would suit the horse, even though his mum would be fine at 2.5 miles, and she was. But he's a bit keen, so perhaps both the JPs will end up in the Supreme.
Does Ballyburn win either race?
Yep.
I agree. In his absence in the Supreme...
So we're betting without Ballyburn.
Basically, yeah. But the entire market will look extremely different. I think Mystical Power would be favourite if Ballyburn is out.
Yeah, you'd imagine at this stage that it should be 7-2 the field, 4-1 the field on the day. But then again, with these big betting companies that decide SPs nowadays, if their programmes are on the line and they all say the same thing, something could go off 2-1. You never know these days. But Mystical Power certainly has a strong chance. Very similar form to Tully Hill. When you think about Jigoro,
I'm a man.
Someday I'll have a man's voice when I get old. There's even things in here like Asian Master, ridden by the tallest jockey in racing.
7'4".
Yeah. And he was no good at basketball. And Mr. Giff, who won the same maiden hurdle in Limerick that Stakeman did.
He was wildly impressive.
Yeah, now he won a terrible, terrible race. The horse he beat has run badly off, literally not much more than 100 since. So it's terrible form, but sure, he could be anything. Jericho de Repene is only rated in the 130s. You need to get to at least low 150s to win a Supreme. The form obviously got a boost since, but like, it wouldn't exactly excite you, would it?
Well, Lump Sum is going for the Welsh Champion Hurdle. And okay. if that was a Henry de Bromhead or Gordon Elliott horse and they said, yeah, we're going to go for the Welsh Champion Hurdle, we'd all be raising an eyebrow. Like, it's a nice race, but it's just not at this level of... I don't think using Lump Sum as a guide that suddenly Jericho de Repene is a player in the Supreme, I don't think it's enough.
Not particularly. And then the other thing as well, for Mystical Power and Tully Hill, is that their jumping is just okay. It's not great. Tully Hill's first time over hurdles over 2.6 was terrible. Nace was a bit better, but not great. The last day in Punchdown, I've watched that race again the other day for the fourth time. And I think every time I look at his jumping, seems to be getting a bit better. But he certainly has got a big engine, as he showed in the bumper last year in Punchestown. The tactics in the race have been very important. Like, he's got a solo the last twice, Tully Hill. Is he going to get a solo again? If he slightly misses a hurdle and he gets shuffled back to fourth, what does that mean? certainly his price on Betfair would balloon at the time. But yeah, I think it's quite an open race. Firefox, obviously, his first start in his career was over 2.5. He looked like a 3 miler that day. He was very impressive, beating Ballyburn at Ferry House in a slowly run race. And then in the Lawlers, he travelled unbelievably well to the bend. He jumped great, he travelled great, and then found nothing. Now, it was at a time when Gordons weren't running well those 10 days. And I think he has scoped badly since. Or they said he scoped badly at that time. But yeah, he just has to come back from that to go and win a Supreme. So an open race, yeah. I suppose it's better than having a 4-7 favourite, which Ballyburn will be in the other race if he goes there.
On Firefox, I can't believe for a second that was really Ballyburn's true running. Factophile and Tully Hill were both beaten at that time as well. Some of Willie's horses weren't really firing.
A lot of Willie's horses right up to Christmas were well beaten. Mm. There's loads of examples of that. So yeah, I'm sure he's improved 15-20 pounds since, yeah.
I do like Firefox though. I'm just not in the context of this race.
Yeah, he certainly has a squeak in each way chance. I don't think I'll back him though.
If Ballyburn goes for the Baring Bingham, which is now looking like so, Q, he goes Supreme and I look like a complete idiot. But isn't there a horse who's massively overpriced in this field?
Go on.
Slade Steel.
Slade Steel, yeah. Good run the last day behind Ballyburn. Mm-hmm. Ahead of King of Kingsfield, has form over further. Beat Licky Watson and Navin over 2.5. Travels well. Yeah, good run. Has an each way chance. I think it's a very, very open race, to be honest.
And he's miles clear of King of Kingsfield, who's favourite for the county.
Off 140, yeah.
Who's your pick for the Supreme?
Oh, I think I'll wait till final decks. I wouldn't discount Tully Hill. His jumping is getting a lot better. He has a big engine, as he showed in the bumper last year. Maybe him each way, but with no conviction whatsoever.
I wasn't expecting Tully Hill. Mystical Power for me.
Mystical Power, great chance. Yeah, I could change my mind between now and Tuesday, honestly.
I think he's got a fantastic chance. 16-1 about Slade Steel was massively appealing. And now it's all gone.
It just shows that in anti-post punting, there can be value.
Somebody might very well have done a double on Mystical Power and Ballyburn for the Supreme and the Baring Bingham in that exact order because he didn't learn his lesson about Factophile.
So you're looking good?
Or I'm going to look like a complete and utter idiot and lose more money because it's not non-runner.
What price are you on it?
9-1 and 3-1.
Oh, very nice. Multiply and add them. 27, 30, 39-1.
Yeah, I threw in Corbett's Cross and Tihupu. It was a lucky 15.
I hope Corbett's Cross in the National Hunt Chase.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course, yeah. He wins
there. Very good.
But we'll find out more from you in a second. But again, this could go horribly wrong. Factophile style. Gallagher's novice hurdle then. So look, we've already talked about Ballyburn. We've already talked about Slade Steel. This would be the race that would suit him better. But your overall point about him being even money is that he will be left with having to beat Il Atlantique, who's a softie. Not because he was beaten the last time, but because he's battled 3 times and lost all 3. And Predator's Gold, who I like, but Ballyburn's better than him.
Oh, way better. Like, if Ballyburn goes for the 2.5, they'll end up with maybe 7 runners in the race. You'll see all the Gidley Parks and all those head away. Handstands might run it, but he's not good enough. Predator's Gold and each way, a place chance, we'll call it. Il Atlantique the same. And Ballyburn will go off 2-1 on and should win easy, yeah.
Easy game. If he's not just there.
So if you're going to do a multiple, you have to stick him into it.
He's that good though, isn't he? We're not in danger of overhyping this horse.
I don't think so. When you look back at beating Cletus Poulaw by a distance, who's now rated 138, that was over 2.5 miles. So he definitely stays. He looked a good bumper horse last year. He wins the grade 1/2. He stays. Sure, he's going to end up a 3 miler possibly. So yeah, he's a class act possibly, yeah.
So what you're saying is, the only question is, how far does he win the Baring Bingham by?
3 lengths will do. It doesn't matter. But yeah, if you're doing a shorty multiple, stick him in. He has to be the first name on the sheet.
Potato race, or the Albert Bartlett, as the professional people would call it. You're in a terrific spot because you've got 20-1 and so do the Gavin Lynch followers about High Class Hero.
Yeah, he has an each way squeak. Obviously his form is not good enough yet. He'll prefer better ground and he might get that yet because there's no rain forecast over the next 10 days, I don't think. Which might change. His run the last day in Thurles wouldn't be good enough, but you just got the impression afterwards from Willie that he'd missed a bit of work, he said, and he'll come on a lot from the run. He'll have to, if he's going to figure. Definitely the favourite will be, I would imagine, reading Tommy Wrong. I hope Paul picks High Class Hero, but I doubt it. I'd imagine he'll go for the Lawlers in ace form. And if Willie's having a good week, which I expect him to have, by the way, he's 9-2 to have 11 winners or more. I think that's value. Reading Tommy Wrong.
Don't just dive past that one really quickly there. You think William Mullins having 11 winners or more at 9-2 is value?
Yeah.
Have you backed it?
I did. I think 10 winners or more is like 7-4, 2-1, maybe that's value as well. But reading Tommy wrong, if Willie's having a good week, which I think he will, and if Paul picks him, I think he'll go off probably 3-1. He's 6-1 at the minute. I'm not saying he's a certainty, but he certainly won't go off that price. Dancing City, good form the last day. Like, there's lots in here with bits of chances. And now is the hour, might be supplemented, but that's only if the ground was going to be heavy, and I can't see that happening. Gidley Park is a gorgeous horse, going to be a lovely chaser. He's in here. Shannon Bob has bits of form. Captain Teague, obviously, through the Challow. Lecky Watson, some people like. Johnny Hu will love the step up and trip.
I like him.
There you go. So the last 10 years, winners of this race, okay?
There's only been one short price winner. That's Monkfish at 5-1. Everything else is bombed out.
Yeah, I'll just get you the SPs over the last 10 years. So last year, Stay Away FA, 18-1, 18-1, 14-1, 5-1, 50-1, 33-1, 16-1, 11-1, 14-1, and 33-1 over the last 10 years. That's probably an average of at least 20-1.
I mean,
who was the 50-1 shot? Never did much after now.
Rachel Blackmore's horse.
Manella Indo.
Yeah.
Only won a Gold Cup.
Real disappointment, that fella.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that the Albert Bartlett, just be wary of a race like that, because it's a grueler. You know the way the National Hunt Chase for novices? Well, basically, the Albert Bartlett is like that. There's hardly any of those favourites have run over 3 miles. So it's a bit of a guessing game. But as I said, if Paul picks Reed and Tommy wrong, Willie's having a good week, I think he'll go off 3-1 fav.
Gordon hasn't won this race yet. Katie Young is of the opinion that this is the year he can do it, and she likes Search for Glory at 40s.
Search for Glory, yeah. I'd be shocked if he won it, but you never know with this race.
I've been shocked at winners of this race in the past.
Yeah, shouldn't be good enough, really, shouldn't. Like, what is he? Probably rated high 130s, is he?
Yeah.
40. Shouldn't be good enough.
Okay, Katie. Dreams crushed there,
but
by
look,
Gavin Lynch.
There's going to be plenty of shocks in Cheltenham, and that's just the nature of the beast. That's why we love it.
So for people who haven't had a bet yet, like, it's great that you're in the position you're in with High Class Hero. What would you do with him now?
I'd have to wait for jockey bookings. I think that what's really important in Cheltenham Week is to be on the ball. Now, fair enough, a lot of people go on the piss, and that's fine, right? It's a very sociable week. It's great crack. It's great fun. I've been at Cheltenham myself, having a few drinks or away golfing while Cheltenham is on, etc. But if you're not in that mindset, you definitely can find value by just keeping an eye on stuff. Keeping an eye on form. Something will run really well in the Arkle and you'll say, oh, that gives this guy a great chance in the Grand Annual or whatever. Do you know, there will be collateral form lines to be watched. There will be jockey bookings to be watched. Like, when the entries come out on Wednesday morning for Friday for the Albert Bartlett, Paul could ride any one of those four that we mentioned. The jockeys mightn't come out at 10:30, 10:40, but it might be 12 o'clock. But at some stage, you just might find out before a bookmaker does. I remember one year, Bobsworth, they didn't know whether he was going to go for the Ballymore, or the Sun and Lions Novice Hurdles it was then, or the Bartlett. And he wasn't declared on Tuesday morning for Thursday. So straight away, I backed him, like within a minute, at 4-1 for the Bartlett. I can't remember what price he went off, but I think he went off like 6-7-4, 2-1.
No, he was short, yeah.
And he won the Bartlett. So I'm just saying to you, if you keep your wits about you, you will find bits and pieces during the week of an angle. And one angle is jockey bookings, if you can find out from Twitter or whatever first.
And if you're right about reading Tommy Wrong, then that's who Paul Tannen will ride. Patrick's going to want to ride something in that race.
Yeah, well, Danny will be on Dancing City again, you'd imagine.
Unless Paul chooses him.
Yeah. True. And then Patrick, yeah, he could be on High Class Hero. It's hard to know.
Which would just mean it's no negative against Patrick, but the market won't react positively to that, no. And he would be pushed out. So you'd get bigger price than the sevens he's available at now.
Yeah.
So you're probably better off to just wait.
Yeah, you're better off to wait. And then if Paul picks him, well, then that throws the cat amongst the pigeons then again.
In which case, that 20-1's looking even better than it is now. Mare's Novice Hurdle. This is shaping up to be an absolute cracker, and it's really a shootout between three.
Primarily, yeah.
But do you think it's a shootout really between two, Brighter Days Ahead and Jade DeGrugy?
I personally do, but that doesn't mean that that's right. Brighter Days Ahead, they absolutely love the horse. They think that not only is it the best mare they have, but it's the best novice they have, male or female, which is big words coming from Gordon, and he's been full of praise for her over the last while. Jade DeGrugy was excellent in the Sol Arena. The two of them have the £5 penalty. Dice Ardenas, it's, you know, it's clever training to avoid winning a listed race or whatever, but going round a 1-5 is not really going to, it's not totally perfect preparation, is it?
This is almost a problem for just some of the British novices. They're winning, but what are they achieving in victory and what are they learning? Jade DeGrugy's learned a fair bit. Brighter Days Ahead has learned a fair bit, and they just seem to have an enormous amount of class. Everyone's talking about the confidence coming out of Cullintra. You hear the confidence coming out of Glasutton.
Yeah, like at the moment, Jade DeGruyter is 9-4 and Brighter Days ahead of 6-4. I think if you gave me 7-4, I'd back Jade DeGruyter to go a favourite. I would. I think it'll be very, very tight. And again, you've got the Willie Mullins factor. This is literally the last race, second last race, or last race on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
If he's up to 6 or 7 winners at that stage, people just keep backing Willie Mullins. And I think there's a chance Jade DeGruyter will go a favourite.
Shots fired, Gordon Elliott. He's super confident about this.
He is, yeah. And as you say, the Mullins camp are as well. Like Brighter Days Ahead hasn't beaten a lot. First time out over in Thurles, jumped a bit to her left. The next day in Down Royal, didn't do so much of that. Won very impressively in a fast time. That compared very well to Irish Point. That was on the same day. And the last day, she was mad odds on over 2.5. She ran there because there was no other race for her. She didn't make the Sol Arena. She had a slight setback. So she hasn't beaten a lot either, really. Obviously, a brilliant family. She's very, very well related to Caldwell Potter and all those. But she must be one of the best mares that there is in the world.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal, yeah. Whereas Jade DeGruyter's actually gone and done it in a really... Like, the best form on the card is without doubt Jade DeGruyter's performance in the Sol Arena. There's no doubt. So she's gone and done it. Brighter Days Ahead is slightly hyped up. And I think the farm people will come for Jade DeGruyter on the day.
I'm loving this, because if you're a long-time listener to the show, you'll know that we are on Jade DeGruyter at quite a big price.
Oh, yeah? What price?
We have her at 9-1, 8-1, and 7-1.
Yeah, that was after Leprosen, was it?
Yeah.
I think she was like 6-7-1 after Leprosen.
She was 14-1 and 16-1 beforehand. That day, before the Christmas meeting.
The thing that threw people off a little bit there is that that was 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
And the mare's novice hurdle is obviously 2-1 in the new track. But like, appreciate it started off running, first ever run was in a 2.5 mile bumper. So, and also, you know, you've seen El Fabiolo in Tremor. There's just things that you can't, 2 and 2 doesn't always make 4 with Willie. You know, he'll run horses over different trips and he'll run them in different race courses, and it's not to be.
Fahin over 3 miles in Limerick.
Yeah. Wins the champion hurdle. So
it's about the schedule. It's not about the distance.
Yeah,
for
it's
Willie
about the timings.
Novices.
Yeah.
Novice chasers. So Marie Nationale out. He's going to embark on a flat campaign. We wish Barry Connell well with them. But instead of talking about horses who are not here, let's talk about the ones who are. This has suddenly become a wide open article. What is your take on it?
It's wide open, and I think it's a very ordinary article.
Yeah, I agree.
There's none of these beating El Fabiolo next year, really. Arkle winners have a great record going on to the Queen with the Champion Chase, but I don't think, I can't see any of these troubling him next year. I think there's going to be lots of pace in the race. And if the ground gets reasonable between now and then, which is a bit of a guess, I could see my mate Mozzie running a big race at 12-1.
Okay. Do you think he'll go here now that Marie Nationale is out? Because they were leaning towards the Grand Annual.
They were, but Gavin Cromwell came out today and said that more likely to go for the Arkle. He got a hike up to 150 in the UK, which is a high rating, so he needs to be 157, 158 to win that. They can always go for the Grand Annual next year, is what they've said, you know. Whereas they can only go for the Arkle once, because he's already won a race. But he's won at Cheltenham. He loves good ground. He will love a fast pace, which I think he's going to get. You're going to see Found a 50 in Quilixios up there, amongst others. A JPR one is a brilliant jumper, very, very slick jumper, but I don't know if his engine is good enough. Hunter's Yarn has never done it at a grade one level, but he was good the last day. He has made one mistake twice, but he is actually a very, very good jumper. Found a 50 in the Irish Arkle, you know, he's good. He jumps slightly to his right. Elite Tom just chinned him. But if you go back to the run of Christmas, myself and Ryan McHugh do a weekly All Things Cheltenham for the website, and after my mate Mozzie won in Cheltenham back in October, November time, I jokingly said that I'd love him to run in a grade one, finish 5th or 6th, and then we'll back him for the Grand Annual. So that was my plan, my cunning plan at that stage, right? And the next thing, he runs at Christmas, but there was only, whatever, 4 runners. And he flashes home, and he was never put into the race. And I'm told that he'll definitely improve fitness-wise from that run. But their plan seemed to be similar to what mine was, that they were looking to run in grade one and then go back to the Grand Annual. But he ran too well at Christmas, and I think he's got a great chance in the Arkle. But like, it's a really open race. It, to me, I'll have a very small bet each way in my main Mozzie. It won't be a big bet, because I think anything on the day, if you ran this race 6 times, you get 5 different winners, I'd say.
Absolutely. Where do you stand with Il Était Temps?
I backed him each way in last year's Supreme.
So did I.
He got a terrible ride. he was in an okay position. Then he was
Danny Mullins on the Final Front podcast.
Yes, how are you, Danny? But I know Danny's a good jock, but he just things didn't go well for him in the Supreme.
He'd admitted himself.
Yeah, it was a terrible ride. He ended up wide down the coming down the hill, and Mikey O'Sullivan just sat where he was, and he let Danny come around him, and he gave him a lovely guide into the race. But he was well beaten in the Triumph as well. He's a funny horse. I just can't seem to get him right. Ran well at Limerick behind Gaelic Warrior Christmas, then wins the Irish Arkle. He's an interesting character. He didn't always show battling qualities, but he certainly showed them the last day. And we're still not sure whether Gaelic Warrior or Facile Vega are going here, or whether they're both going to the Turners or one of them going here. So it's still a bit of a guessing game.
Gaelic Warrior would pull up in this.
You think so?
I can't go left-handed, Gavin.
I wouldn't say that. He was second in the Bulls and he was second in the Ballymore. He's better going right-handed. Like when he was down the inside last year behind Imperial Pass, he didn't jump that much to his right. He's got an amazing engine. To me, like in the DRF, I love Factophile. I think he'll win. That wasn't Gaelic Warrior. To me, there was something wrong.
I think Factophile broke him.
Yeah, maybe. But like, there's no reason why for a horse that has so many gears, like he did win a handicap hurdle in the DRF off 140 odd. Like he has class going left-handed. He should have been able to take him to the last. He was gone a long, long way out. Paul was saying that he was never travelling the last day. To me, there was an injury or he was sick or something, because that's, he's better than that. I don't think he would have won a point to point the last day. So I
fair.
You know.
But he, I just wonder, is it that he couldn't lay up with Factophile?
I can, sure. He's got, he has form over 2 miles and stuff. So I think he's got loads of gears. But
when Illit Etamp won the 2 mile grade one novice hurdle, he won a handicap over the same course and distance that day. Facile Vega was beaten over 20 lengths. Facile Vega crosses the line before Gaelic Warrior does.
Yeah, handicap hurdles can go at a different clip. You know, it depends how fast. I'd have to go and I remember doing that analysis myself. I just can't remember off the top of my head how fast they went early on in the handicap hurdle. The thing that I would always look for in when you're comparing sectionals or times of races is if I see a race, say, over 2 miles, right, and one time is like, say, 5 seconds ahead of the other one, you can, it's 4 lengths per second, we call it, okay? So 5 seconds would be 20 lengths. What I would love to see, the ideal scenario to get excited about the quicker time is that they had the exact same time for the first half of the race and the difference was made up in the last mile or half a mile. That's when you get excited.
Okay.
If the difference is made up early on in the race, I wouldn't get as excited. That's just...
So it's more about the closing finish. Yeah. That's where you want to see the increase.
That's where
speed.
You want to see the difference. But if you see the difference in the first 4 or 5 furlongs, well, then you can... I wouldn't get excited.
Okay. I'm tilting for one at a big price here.
Go on.
Phoenicia Williams Jello. I think it's a terrible race. He doesn't need to improve that much. He's got an official rating of 149. Found of 50 is 153 in Ireland. And Illit Etamp 154. Okay. Lamprest started in handicap chases, went on to win a grade one novice chase at the Cheltenham Festival. Same way with this fella. And that performance at Ascot, he had that race won by halfway. He blew them apart that day. And the last two performances, he gets wiped out at the first at Lingfield.
He did.
Not his fault at all. There was a nasty incident. James Best has given Nickelback a superb ride at Sandown. Wasn't so good for everybody else in behind. But I'd say Phoenicia just wanted him to get round. I'd nearly forget that. Mm-hmm. And at 33
Jello
to 1.
Jello definitely going here?
Thinks. Well, they surely are going to go now. Surely. I think you can get 50 to 1 without non-runner, no bet.
Okay.
If you're brave enough.
Yeah.
I can just, it's such a bad race.
It's a very, very ordinary. And what makes me laugh is you'll hear people saying it's an average Arkle. Average means that that's the norm, but it's less than the norm.
Edward Stone would lap this lot if this was his Arkle.
Yeah, that doesn't say a lot, yeah.
Found a 50? Does he jump out too much to the right and is the track a little bit too tight for him?
But the fact that, what's definitely no harm is that he was placed in the Drinmore in Fairy House, and the fact that he ran over 2.5, the fact, you know, that he can stay 2.5 is, for me, a positive, so.
That form's better now, too.
Yeah, obviously, I am Maximus.
Who's your pick for the Arkle?
Each way, maybe my mate Mozzie at 12 to 1.
Okay.
Hope in the hope that they go very, very fast, which, and he needs two things. He needs a really fast run race and he needs decent ground. So we don't know those two things will happen. But if they did, he'd have an each way squeak at 12s.
I've been on and off the Found a 50 train. I'm currently off it and very much on the Jello one. I reserve the right to jump back onto the Found a 50 train by the time Sunday show comes along. Turners.
Yes.
So I mean, this is we're kind of back to the same kind of horses, but we'll add in the British. Ginny's Destiny. Sounds like Grey Dawning's going to come here instead of taking on Factophile, which I think is a smart thing to do if they get soft ground. If they don't get soft ground, that you might not work out too well. Can you explain to me how Oroco is 5-1 for this?
Yeah, Martin Pipe winner was excellent in Warwick. I suppose it's connections and it's JP and the fact that, is that the reason why they're switching Factophile up to the 3 miles? It is a big positive to say that they want to keep it for Oroco. I don't know. He would probably be a little bit short for me, having only had the one run over fences. It shouldn't be enough, but I'd agree with you, he's a bit too short.
Who do you think will go off favourite, and will it be a Willie Mullins horse?
We were having a chat earlier on, and my only prediction for the Turner so far was that whatever Paul Townend rides will go off favourite. I think so, yeah. Again, if he's having a big week.
He rides Vassal Vega.
Yeah. It could come down to how they work on the Curragh this week and stuff like that. I would say that he's odds on to ride Vassal Vega this, yeah. But I'd be only 60-40, which people take as 90-10. But Vassal Vega, the other thing again is that he would have a far, far greater chance on soft ground. And also, Willie came out with a statement last week saying that, he's not delighting him and he's going to have to throw a lot of work at him and see how he takes it. So you'd want to be hearing more positive vibes than that for a horse to go and win at the Olympics. Ginny's Destiny is rating 155. Solid as you like, out in front, down the inside, Harry on board, Harry Cobden, and you can set your watch by him. Brilliant horse, as I said, he travels and jumps great, but he's only won, handicap chases really, so you might say Stage Star did the same last year, came with the same profile. I'd be disappointed if Ginny's Destiny was good enough, and personally I prefer the two. I prefer Grey Dawning, who has officially got a rating 2 pounds less. Unlucky not to have beaten him when he took the second last with him. Stays further, jumps well, does make the odd tiny mistake alright, but I think he'll go off a shorter price than Ginny's Destiny.
And if it is soft ground, the more people will be very interested in Grey Dawning. That being said, I think it's going to be pretty difficult to get away from Vassal Vega. Appreciate it was beaten in the Irish Arkle and was sent off the 11-8 favourite for this race last year. So you're almost certainly 100% right. Paul Townend's mount for Willie Mullins is going to be favoured. It's just a matter
At the betting there at the moment is 2-5-2 is Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny, 7-2 Gaelic Warrior, 7-2 Vassal Vega. But I think one of those will shorten a lot and the other two will drift out. I would be surprised if Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny SP'd at 2-5-2s unless there's an injury. But and as we said, Grey Dawning and Vassal Vega would definitely prefer the ground soft as you could get.
Who's your pick?
No strong opinion. Maybe Grey Dawning, but that definitely could change.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Vassal Vega is the play now. If you end up in a situation where Paul Townend chooses Gaelic Warrior and it's Patrick Mullins on board, then no thanks.
Then you're a big drifter. You know what I mean?
And it's not against Patrick. It's that Paul has decided to ride Gaelic Warrior against him, I would take that as a major negative.
Paul going on Vassal Vega, his SP will be 2-1. And if Paul goes the other way, his SP will be 6-1. So you just have to keep your eye on the ball every morning to see jockey bookings and stuff like that. If you can, you'll certainly get an edge, I think, while you're in the Guinness tent.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
If Grey Dawning goes Turners, then it's basically Factophile versus Stay Away Faye versus Monty Star. We've heard today that Broadway Boy is going to turn up to this race.
Mm.
Is Factophile away and gone?
I think so. I think basically, I was chatting to somebody yesterday and that to me, there's only, it's probably foolish to say this, but there's only two real ways he doesn't win. One is if he falls and the other if he doesn't stay. If he stays, I'd be shocked if he doesn't win. Like Monty Star is in there at 9-2. I can understand why people were fancying him back at 12, 14, 16 to 1, 10 to 1 each way. He jumped very well the last day. Very, very nice horse. But at 9-2, he seems very short. Stay Away Faye didn't impress me the last day. I know he was an open company, but I think Factophile would beat Capodanno.
I got Factophile badly wrong. I got him right in that I knew he'd win at Cheltenham. I got him for the wrong race.
Yeah, but if Grainger West was still in training, Grainger West would go here. In fact, the file would be in the Turner. So you were very unlucky that that's the way it transpired.
Yeah. If my auntie had wheels, she'd be a bike, but she wouldn't be winning the Tour de France. But anyway, we'll give it a go. Factor file for both of us, so.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Which brings us to the National Chase. The more I look at this race, the more I think Corbett's Cross is just going to outclass them.
He certainly has more toe than Embassy Gardens, but people will crib his jumping. He hasn't, you're going to tell me otherwise, but he just doesn't completely look natural. He's getting from A to B. He has his first time out in Nace. He was very ordinary. He wins his beginner's chase and his jump was a bit better. He was a bit unlucky, obviously, the last day to be brought down in Fairy House. In between that, he ran okay at Leperstown behind Grainger West. Lucky, he has loads of toe. Will he definitely stay? I presume Derek O'Connor is going to ride, which is a big positive. Embassy Gardens, Patrick Lloyd, he's a brilliant, brilliant jumper. He's a gorgeous looking thing. He's a massive horse. If either of these two, I see Embassy Gardens is out to 4.1 or 2. If I get 3 to 1 or 7 to 2, like I've already stuck Corbett's Cross into a couple of each way bits at 130. Okay. But if Embassy Gardens goes out to that price, I'll also stick him into each way multiples at 3 to 1, 7 to 2.
Oh, well.
That's just the way I bet. That if I think there's, I wouldn't fancy Salvatore Ziggy at all. Meeting the Water is probably going to the ultimate. Three card brag, no thanks. Nick Rocket's not going there. Kilbeg King might have an each way squeak. Florian Porter's not going here. Broadway Boy's not going here. So I think if you're getting 3 to 1 or 7 to 2, Embassy Gardens, and he's nearly that on the machine, if you're getting that each way, I definitely would be sticking him into each way multiples because to me it just makes sense. I don't think you have to have a strong opinion which one is going to win, but if you're getting each way, why not?
That sounds like a scumbag each way bet account closer to me, yeah, which I love.
But if you do it in cash in a shop, you're not closing an account.
And you get the readies in your hand.
Or if it's better, get a friend of yours to do it.
Exactly. Gamble responsibly and all that malarkey, which of course we have to do in this day and age. I would have taken it that you would all gamble responsibly. Of course you're going to do that anyway.
Yeah, well, you see, if somebody says to you, sorry, you have to gamble responsibly, will you say, well, I'm actually back in Embassy Gardens each way in the National Chase, and that's quite responsible.
Safety first.
I'm backing it each way.
Paige Fuller was on the show with us yesterday talking about the race IQ data. Fascinating stuff.
Okay.
Brilliant breakdown. The two horses she was looking at in detail, she looks at Salvatore Ziggy as well. Embassy Gardens gained 17.35 and 11.58 lengths jumping on these two starts over fences. Okay. Corbett's Cross, the narrative is that he doesn't jump very well.
Mm.
Fairy House gained 4.71 lengths. Leopardstown, 2.75 lengths gained per jumping. Fairy House, 10.16 lengths gained.
The last day?
Mm-hmm.
Wowee. So you're saying that he's quick and low over them?
Yeah.
He's jumping them like Gaelic Warrior.
He's getting it done.
He jumps a lot of fences differently. He doesn't have a unique style. It's like Man United. You don't know what his style is. But he's definitely got a strong engine. The one thing is that last year, I couldn't believe it. Now, maybe it was when he won the 3 mile handicap hurdle in Farias, I thought to myself, oh, lovely, a Bartlett horse, right? And I backed him at a fancy price. And then he runs over 2 miles in Nace. And then he goes back to the Bartlett in 3 miles. And in the Bartlett, for the first time ever in his life, he was mad keen.
Mm.
But I just wondered was the fact that he ran over 2 miles the reason for that, because he'd never shown it before. So, and I think he would have won the Bartlett. He wouldn't have won now, by the way, if he jumped the last. He wouldn't have. But if you go back and look at the video last year of the Bartlett, he ran unbelievably keen throughout the race, like crazy. So he definitely is a very, very good engine. The fact that he beat, what do you call the horse he beat? Found a 50 over 2 miles, like he has toe. Is he definitely going to stay again, like some of the other horses we mentioned earlier? It's anybody's guess. It's 3 mile 6, but Derek will probably ride him cold as he does mid division and come late. And it'll be a cracking race.
I'm super confident. Your pick?
Maybe Embassy Gardens, but no strong opinion. But I'd be shocked if either of the two don't win it.
I would be too.
I wouldn't have Salvatore Ziggy, but you never know, it's a horse race.
No Constitution Hill, which means most people are going to think that this is just a Roman chariot-style lap of honour for statesmen now, at long odds on. But I didn't think he looked overly comfortable on the old course last year, and now you've got to be very, very picky about a 5-2 on-shot. We're not talking about a 3-1 on-shot. Can he dethrone Constitution Hill? Now, he's the one who all the pressure is on. So how do you approach the champion hurdle now?
It's a fair point. Like he did win the county going wider on the outside. He got a lap of Cheltenham that day off 140 or 141. That's on the new track, the old track. Paul said he was never travelling. So if he does that again, obviously he's in trouble. I was going to say you can set your watch by him. He's won 8 grade ones, I think. He generally runs a brilliant race every day. But as you say, you make the point about last year's old course. Will Lossiemouth go here? I see where she's out to 1.9 on Betfair to run in the Mares, to win the Mares hurdle. So
Willie, that's interesting. Mullins bingo.
I'd imagine she'll stay to the Mares, but look at, it must be tempting for Rich Ritchie to win a champion hurdle. She was brilliant.
Well, hang on a second now. They didn't want to go for this race because he's there and they were talking about 5-year-olds in the champion hurdle. She's won a champion hurdle trial by 10 lengths.
Yeah.
With Paul Townend taking a pull. He took a pull coming to the last.
He did, yeah.
He's not here this year. He will be there next year.
Yeah. So why not go this year? Yeah. I mean, if I owned him, I'd send her to the champion hurdle without any doubt. Winning the Mayor's Hurdle is grand. It's a good race, but it ain't no champion hurdle.
He's had 3 short price favourites beaten in it. Any Power, Vroom Vroom Mag, Benny Didio. When's he going to learn?
Yeah. 2 of them very unlucky at the last. Don't remind anybody. But Lossiemouth last year in the Triumph Hurdle and even in other races, like in the Triumph Hurdle, everything went wrong for her, in my opinion. She ended up in front, free as the wind, coming down the hill, turning in. Whereas this year, she was able to sit in behind a really good pace and come late, and she raced like a proper racehorse this time, because, you know what I mean?
Mm.
She was able to sit in behind a much faster race and a much better race, than the Triumph Hurdle wasn't so good. So last year in the Champion Hurdle, the betting at the moment is like 2-5 Stateman, 7-2 Lossiemouth. They wouldn't SP that.
No.
They wouldn't SP that.
No way.
I think that SP, if they all ran, I'd imagine Stateman at SP 4-7. I think she'd SP 2-1, 9-4, and Irish Pint probably 5-1 would be my guess.
Who would you side with?
If she was in it?
Yeah.
Are you giving me 3-1 each way on the day? Well, like, she's 7-2 there now. Like, I wouldn't see anything wrong with Paddy Power 7-2 each way, Lossiemouth. Why would you not back her each way at 7-2? Because if she doesn't run, you get your money back.
Yeah.
Now, maybe people don't like tying up money for a week or two, but I certainly don't mind doing it. And I think 7-2 her, it's an absolute, she cannot be out of the first 3 if she runs in the champion hurdle. Now, obviously, it's like a 20% chance she goes there, but sure, what's the harm? At 7-2, we'll be back in her in the champion hurdle, yeah.
Here's a bet for you. Or would you recommend this? Embassy Gardens, Lossiemouth, Scumbag, each way double.
If Embassy Gardens was 3-1 and Lossiemouth was 7-2, absolutely all day each way double, yeah. Why not?
A few shops to visit later on. Irish Point. Are we sleeping on him?
I'd have a chance, but I just, he was good in Down Royal. He was good the last year over 2-7. I'd actually really like him in the Stairs Hurdle. But he ain't going to go there now.
No.
Very, very nice horse, but just, Stateman's better than him and Lossiemouth's better than him.
It's a relief to me that he's not going to the Stairs Hurdle, but more on that to come. Mayor's Hurdle, I don't like taking a short price about a horse who has to do something for the first time at Cheltenham. And we can say all day long, oh, she'll stay. Adam Mills is convinced she'll stay. And I respect Adam greatly, back on the Final Furlong podcast very, very soon. Lots of jockeys are saying it as well.
Do you want to do the ultimate scumbag each way double?
Please. Of course.
The ultimate one is Lossiemouth at 7-2 for the Stairs Hurdle and Astro Diamond at 7-2 for the Mares Hurdle. Why not?
Yes!
Why not? Because if Lossiemouth switches,
she's
her Astro Diamond goes off 2-1, doesn't she?
Easily.
Yeah. So
are we kickstarting a massive gamble here? Are we?
We should call this podcast the Scumbag Double.
The Scumbag
Each Way Double podcast. But
this is why some bookmakers are going to be annoyed now that they're not partnered with us. Because if we partnered up with Bet365, for example,
yeah,
like suddenly they'd just be inundated with multiple requests. Actually,
it's only we're having a laugh, right? But
we're
having a laugh. But certainly in each way, double Lossiemouth for the champion hurdle and Astro Diamond for the Mares. That's the stuff. If you don't mind spending the time putting the bets on, you don't mind tying up a few quid for a week or two, why not?
Well, Astro Diamond can't be out of the first
now. Just
three.
To say to you, sorry, if Lossiemouth does show up in the Mares hurdle, you end up with an each way single on Astro Diamond.
Yeah.
Not the end of the world.
But she can't be out of the first 3.
No, she can't. No.
So you're going to get something back.
You will, yeah. You'll get, if you had a tenner each way, you would get back 17 quid for your 20.
What if we were to throw in Embassy Gardens / Corbett's Cross?
Well, so then we'll buy the yacht. But
I see you in Dubai.
Maurice Rock, she's grand. Love Envoy doesn't seem as good this year. Echoes in Rain, she's, you know, she's good at Punchestown and stuff like that, but she's not the most reliable. She's run in this race before. Hispanic Moon, Magical Zoe. Tell Me Something Girl ran a cracker the last day behind Zari the Brave and Nace. Her novice chasing career was just a disaster. That was her second run back from chasing. It definitely, for me, takes a couple of runs for Hurst to get back to Joel to jump low enough and quick enough back over hurdles. So I think she could be in the three, but I think what you have to remember with Lossiemouth, we're back to Lossiemouth for the Mayor's Hurdle again, stepping up to 2.5, is that the Triumph Hurdle was 2-1 on the new track. This is 2.5 on the old track. And when you're listening to David Casey and Ruby Walsh talking, there's absolutely no comparison. They think Lossiemouth is miles ahead of all the other mares they have. So,
yeah, I think she should be in the Champion Hurdle, but look, they're probably going to go for this race. So fair enough if they do. Although listen, maybe Gavin Lynch kickstarts off the gamble of all gambles.
No.
And Willie decides to get on board, do us all a favor, and we pull off one of the greatest touches of all time. It would be quite ironic if all season long people are saying, put some respect on State Man's name. And then Constitution Hill comes out, he gets his chance and fails.
Yeah.
There's something to that.
Yeah, no, the only worry you have is what you mentioned about the old course last year that he ran bad, but also Lossiemouth would be a proper danger because she's getting the £7 and she is brilliant.
She'd beat him, I think.
Do you think?
I think she would beat him, yeah.
If Stateman does turn around and beat Lossiemouth in the Champion Hurdle, but then finally it puts to bed that he is a top-class horse. He is anyway, he's won 8 grade ones, but I mean, really, really, really top class if he can beat her.
He's mustard, but he beat Bob Olinger, who doesn't win over 2 miles, and Imperial Pass blew out.
Paul would obviously ride Stateman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course he would. So Danny Mullins will be...
sitting and waiting.
Danny Mullins will be watching this going, come on, Willie, do it. Come on, Willie. Ringing up Joe Chambers going, you know they're right. Am I bonkers to think that Love Envoy was a huge price here at 16s?
Ran a cracker last year, got a soft lead. Beaten by a decent mare. Honeysuckle, I'm joking.
Are you there, Honeysuckle?
Yeah. They're the silks that Rachel wore when she won the second Champion Hurdle. Love Envoy, yeah. Disappointing, obviously, well beat the last day by Lossiemouth. Yeah, the form is there. She'd certainly have an each way squeak, yeah.
Back to the festival, third run of the season, back up and trip. It's her last run before she heads off to the sale.
Mm.
She's my bet in the race.
Really?
Listen, Ashro Diamond really is the bet, but she's too big at 16s. I can't let her run at that.
Do you think Love Envoy will get a solo this year?
No. No. That's the problem.
That's a bit of an issue, isn't it?
Tihupu.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this stairs hurdle. I backed Tihupu last year in the stairs hurdle and I'm still slightly unforgiving. I know Davey didn't have a good week and he went left and right and left and right and horse in front of him and all that, but he still gets beat by a 10 and 11 year old. I still think if things went amazingly well for him, he wins a short head. I don't think it's amazing for him, but he was only 6, he's 7, now he's stronger. The other thing is record after a 50 day break is literally he wins every time.
8 starts, 8 wins.
There you go. That's nearly 100%. And last year Gordon regretted sending him to the Galmoy in Gorn. Now he beat Somerville Boy or somebody who's a 12 year old. He beat nobody, but the fact that he just had to leave the stable and run around on bad ground might have knocked the edge off him. Without Irish Point, which we think is going to the Champion Hurdle, it's a very, very poor contest. I can't have Noble Yates. Will Sir Gerhard stay? Flooring Port would have a bit of a squeak. Gavin said today that last year he had a very interrupted prep going to Cheltenham. This year he hasn't. But back from fences to hurdles obviously is a bit of a worry.
He described him as an uncomplicated horse. It wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
But still, it's not ideal. He might be starting to overjump those hurdles.
As the old expression is, they would say that, wouldn't they? Monkfish wouldn't be out of it. And I know for a fact that...
bump into fish pond.
What's it called? Fish cake? No.
Monfish. Monfish.
Fish cake.
Fish cake. I've never heard that before. Brilliant. Paisley Park, Holmby the Lee would have a place chance. Sorry, De Burley is 20-1 and he's after, and he won it last year, but obviously he's 12.
He's 72 years old.
He is, yeah. In human terms. Look, Tihupu is the right favourite. It's just getting a little bit short at 2-1, 9-4 for me. So I'd probably stay out of this.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Iris's Gift was beaten in this race as a 6-year-old, came out and won it as a 7-year-old. Brave Inc. was beaten in his first attempt at the Champion Hurdle, came out and won it a year later. Native River and Absolute Heart both beaten on their first goes at the Gold Cup.
Okay, here's one for you. Let's say there's no rain in Cheltenham for the next 10 days.
Oh, fuck.
And let's say that the ground is good to soft. And let's say that a 2-mile race is ran in something like 350, 355. We were chatting earlier over lunch and I was saying to you that I don't go via the going descriptions. I go via the times more so. So if it was 355 and the ground is good to soft, that has to be a negative for Tiupo. If that happens, he'll go off 3-1. He definitely. He's as ground dependent as Banbridge the other way around.
Yeah.
And the two of them are due to run on the same day. So I don't know how that's going to work for the two of them.
Well,
but anyway, say
George Gorman is supposed to explode a water truck on the track if we're in trouble.
Okay.
But the second you said, what if it's good ground? That was me screwed straight away.
So how can anybody back Tiupo right now? Like nobody's backing Banbridge, right? Nobody is backing Banbridge at the moment because they're worried about the ground. They're going to wait and wait and wait and wait. And he's out to 4-1 on the machine for the Ryanair because everybody is worried what the ground's going to be. And that's totally right.
Again, no liquidity.
But I think the same should apply for Tiupo. You can't back him until you know what the ground is.
True.
For some reason, that gets a big mention. And for Tiupo, it's not getting a mention. So
very valid and very fair point. They're not going to do it. Irish Point's not going to switch back here. Does that mean that you'd be interested in Crambo or...
Be interesting. Keep my hands in my pocket.
This is a race you'd skip.
Possibly. I wouldn't be adverse to the fact of backing Flooring Porter at 12-1 and laying it and running at 5-1. Because I'd want to go through. I haven't gone through the full pace angle on the race yet. But if I'm seeing, are we allowed to mention a website?
Yeah, of course.
At the races website, if you go into race cards and you go down, there's two panels, but the second panel says pace. And I use that a lot. It saves you having to spend hours doing it. Click on pace. And if I see the Flooring Porter looks like getting a solo, I'll back him at 12s and lay him at 5s and just give yourself a free bet. He probably won't win the race, but at least, you know, it's something. It's
an
angle.
Do you use Proform?
I don't.
Okay, Proform costs a fair bit of money, but it's brilliant. Okay. But the At The Races website is free.
Yes.
And they've also got all those Cheltenham stats as well. Which, of course, you can get in the Weatherby's Cheltenham Festival betting guide and use our promo code where you get £5 off your purchase, courtesy of Weatherby's. No, some great stuff there. So do they have pace angles for all of the Cheltenham races?
They've got it for every race that you'll ever see. They have it for every race every day. So they will have, yeah.
Some stuff that I need to be looking at then over the next few days. Flooring Porter, so for the stairs. Tentative.
No, just back and lay, yeah. So whatever that means.
Okay. That's part one of our Cheltenham preview with Gavin Lynch. There will be more coming very, very soon on the YouTube page. If you haven't liked and subscribed this, please do so now. More with Gavin Lynch coming your way for Cheltenham 2024 on the Final Furlong Podcast.